But something else with that. Resurrection represents the life that we're to have in Christ. It's a lifestyle. As far as the event goes, it's the most important thing that's ever happened in human history. Without the resurrection, what meaning would the cross or Jesus dying on the cross have for us? Because he rose from the dead, we have oneness with the Father. He reigns, we reign with him. Because he conquered death, we have eternal life. And no longer are we under the bondage of the law, a law that we could never fulfill. But because of his resurrection, God changed his relationship to the human race, and now he relates to us with grace. And we stand because of the grace of God. So we look back to what Jesus did, and again, there's nothing more important that's ever happened to God's creation than the Son of God dying and being resurrected from the dead for us. You look back historically and you look at the life of Jesus, it's not really a stretch of faith to believe that a man named Jesus lived for 33 and a half years and caused quite a stir in the earth in the short time he was here. Historically, that can be proven that Jesus lived. Historically, it can be proven that he died on a cross. Crucifixion was a very popular form at that time of punishment, and the Romans used it to kill criminals. He wasn't the only person to die on a cross, and he wasn't the only person to be martyred for a cause. But the real issue of faith is not over that Jesus came and lived and died, but the issue of faith is he rose from the dead. That cannot be proven historically. Going back to when it happened in an open tomb, to those that believed, they saw that his word had been fulfilled, that he did rise from the dead. To others that didn't believe, it meant simply that his followers were fanatics and they moved the body somewhere. We're not meant to prove historically, scientifically, the resurrection, because it doesn't exist in that realm. You can believe Jesus lived because you can read it in history books. I mean, you can read it right here, the best history book of all, the Bible. But as far as his resurrection, that's an issue of faith that God has got to make real to the heart. And for those that would contest that, saying it didn't happen, I want us just to look at the history of that time. The disciples, the followers of Jesus, once he died on the cross, they were disillusioned. Their dreams came to an end. It says that they were huddled behind closed doors. They were afraid. Not too many days after that, they come out of an upper room and they're described as those that turned the world upside down. Miracles, signs and wonders, supernatural happenings. And they're proclaiming with boldness the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you tell me, people could discount the event of the resurrection and say, I don't believe it. But what do you do about the fruit of the resurrection that was manifest in the disciples' lives? Now, they had spent a period of time with Jesus in fellowshipping, but a lot of people didn't know that. But how do human beings go from being timid, afraid, disillusioned, into dynamic people moving in boldness and faith that changed the course of human history? And that's what the book of Acts is all about. Something happened to them. Paul, Philippians 3, describes him as a Pharisee of Pharisees. There was no one more devout to the law. Something happens to him on the road to Damascus. He meets the risen Lord. That's what we know. Others could say, well, no, that really didn't happen. But how do you account for the dramatic change in Paul's life? You know, the hardest thing for any of us to change is the way we think about things. Here's someone that thinks one way, the law, he's a Pharisee, he is steeped in tradition. He becomes the apostle that expresses most clearly in our Bible the revelation of God's grace and how to be freed from the law and what Jesus Christ did for us. What happened to him? He met the risen Lord. And again, someone could contest that event on the road to Damascus, but what do you do about the change in Paul's life? That's what resurrection's all about. It's not a point that we should try to convince people to believe or try to manipulate their thinking, yeah, it really happened. It's a life to be lived. Jesus Christ rose from the dead 2,000 years ago and went to the Father. But that risen Lord is in our lives today, and he wants us to be able to experience resurrection life in this life that we have before we go back to the Father. I'm going to turn to, and you can read this later if you like, 1 Corinthians 15. Paul speaks about the importance of the resurrections. 1 Corinthians 15, 12. Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. And also your faith is in vain. Moreover, we have even found to be false witnesses of God, because we witnessed against God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Paul makes it very clear. Without the resurrection, there is no Christianity. Now you can say, well, there can be a Christian religion with doctrines about Jesus. He taught wonderful things. He was a great teacher. I'm sure just about anybody would acknowledge that. He was a prophet. Things happened. God was with him. But that's not what our faith stands on. Our faith stands on Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And Paul is saying, if that didn't happen, and if we don't have resurrection life, he's saying, then this is all worthless. There's no point to preach. There's no point to believe. Paul knew, because he was living in resurrection life. Today, we need to contend that our lives experience more and more of the supernatural that's within us. I'm not talking about something out there. It's a wonderful thing to honor what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. But it's even much better with that to honor his life in you today. And you are meant to experience the supernatural, the divine, that which is beyond human capacity and human resources. The day of miracles is not over. And I'm not saying we should just seek out for just healing, signs, and wonders. Those are all wonderful things. The point is, the miraculous Lord that performed in the book of Acts through his people is the same Lord that indwells our heart and lives today. Let's not be complacent with our religion and going to church and what we believe and how we think and all the things we do for God, all these good things. Let's be sure that our heart is free to focus on our relationship with him and believe for that supernatural flow of God through our lives. Some things about resurrection, if you could turn with me, the book of Luke, chapter 20, verse 27. Jesus is talking with the Sadducees, who did not believe in resurrection. And they come up to him in this few verses here, and they begin to question him about the law. And this, I won't get into all this, about seven brothers. And as each brother dies, the other brother takes the wife. So they're trying to trap him with doctrine, with the law. And they're saying, okay, everybody's up in heaven, when the wife finally dies, who is she married to? And his answer to that, verse 34, Jesus said to them, the sons of this age marry and are given in marriage. This is Luke 20, 34. But those who are considered worthy to attain to that age and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Neither can they die anymore, for they are like angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. He goes on to describe this. And the only thing I want to point out is, here are the Sadducees trying in their minds to reason about this thing of resurrection and disprove it. They're trying to trap Jesus. And what Jesus is saying is, resurrection is not of the realm that you're on. They were trapped in this religious way of thinking. Resurrection is the life of God. So they're making an issue about this thing of marriage. Okay, who's married here? The seven brothers have had the same wife because they all died. And he's saying, it's not about that. It's not about that. Resurrection is the life of Christ in us that goes beyond our doctrines, beyond our thinking. It's not something that we can humanly do or even grasp with our limited thinking, our minds. It's the life of God being manifest through us. So what do we do then? If we can't figure it out, if we can't make it happen, we embrace it with faith. We embrace the risen Lord who indwells us and have faith that that life can be manifest. 1 John. I love this. This is the disciples now, the early church. And I wonder, and here's a question. Obviously, it didn't take too long. Was it the 3rd century with Constantine that kind of the whole Christian faith, the church became more and more wedded to the politics, and don't want to go into all that. But obviously what was happening in the book of Acts was a dynamic display of God's power through his people. Healing, signs, and wonders. Everybody sold what they have. They lived in common. Nobody was greedy. A powerful, powerful lifestyle that was changing history. They couldn't put the fire out. They were persecuted, and yet the word of God was just spreading like wildfire. A few hundred years later, what happens? The religion remains, but the life is not there. Then we have these churches and these structures and people being ordered to go to church and being told, basically being put back under the law. Either you do this or you're going to hell. Church becomes this great machinery of bondage for people. When a few hundred years earlier, it was a lifestyle of the resurrected Lord. What happened? At what point did the doctrine about Jesus become more important than the person himself? I think it was probably a slow process. And it's a question we need to ask ourselves today. Is the religion we form in our mind about this man Jesus more important than the intimate relationship we have with our resurrected Lord? And where should our focus be? All the denominations that are out here, all the sects, people get all caught up in the way they think and how they interpret the scriptures, and our way is right and this way is wrong. Is the doctrine about Jesus more important than our relationship with him? He's Lord of all. Let's be freed from the limited thinking. Even our minds tend to gravitate toward that, I think, more of a legalistic approach. You want to figure things out. We want to know that we know the truth, somehow that we can put it in a box. We know more than other people. All of that has nothing to do with the resurrected Lord. This is all about relationship. Here's how John describes it. This is what life was like in the early church. What was from the beginning, 1 John 1, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have beheld and our hands handled concerning the word of life. Now, is he trying to talk people into some doctrine? He's saying, hey, this living thing that we're experiencing. He goes, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested to us. He goes on. See, the resurrected Lord was not something you just write a book about back then. What is he talking about? What we've handled, what we've seen, what we've tasted, what's in our experience, we give to you. That's the resurrected life and the lifestyle that comes from that. John 17:3. Jesus is making his prayer before going to the cross, and he says, talking about eternal life, again, resurrected life, what's it all about? And this is eternal life, to have all the correct doctrines, to have it figured out. He doesn't even go there. That they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. When we're focused the right way on experiencing and manifesting the resurrected Lord, our focus comes off what we know or what we think we know. It's not doctrine that's the most important issue, is it? But Jesus said what eternal life's all about is knowing God and knowing the Son. And what's that about? That's about relationship. It's a relational reality. And we look at that, I think every heart in here bears witness, and you go, yes, that's where I want to be. Why is it so easy as human beings for this flesh to be there one moment and then to get on our high horse the next moment? our own, that human pride that we have and what we know again and how we think and someone else thinks differently. And we get all these conflict when none of that matters. Eternal life is in you because Jesus Christ is in you. The Father is in you. And what that's all about is not your church attendance or all the things you do or what you don't do. It's all about knowing the Father who loved you so much that he gave his son for you. And it's about knowing that son. No other burden does God lay on us. Why do we lay so many more burdens on ourselves and one another? Yeah, if I'm going to be saved, if I'm going to get to heaven, I've got to do. Where's that in the scripture? Jesus Christ paid the price for that. He paid the price and he's resurrected. And resurrected life is telling you the only thing that you need to do. And it's not a should. It's now you have the opportunity to know who God is. He wants you to know him. He wants you to know the Son. You have the opportunity to have an intimate relationship with the Father and the Son. And that's why the Holy Spirit's in us, to lead us into that. One more passage, if you could turn with me to John chapter 11. And there are elements in this story. This is the story when Lazarus passed away, a friend of Jesus. And Jesus goes and raises him from the dead. I'm sure everyone here is familiar with that. But in this whole area of resurrection life, I find there's elements of this story I think that we can really relate to, because I think that's what we're grappling with today. We're grappling with, do we believe the life of God is in us? Do we have it? And I think sometimes people are afraid of wrestling with that question, and so they retreat behind their doctrine, behind their religion, and they just get busy doing things. And a lot of that can be just a cover-up that we are really afraid of facing the intimacy and the oneness and the power of relationship that God wants with us. I'll tell you, when you face that, when you realize that God wants to be so close to you and one with you, and he wants you to know that oneness, there's no place to hide. I can hide behind what I believe. When I'm standing in his presence and I have to face that God loves me so much and I don't deserve that, I can't find anything in me that's worthy of that love. I can never in my mind figure out why he would send what was most precious to him, his son, to die for me. I can't fathom that level of unconditional love. So it's easier for me to hide behind my religion than to step out and say, God, I expose myself to the wonder of your love, to this resurrection life. Transform me. But that's where we need to be, transparent in his presence, facing the relationship that God wants to have with us. It is a scary thing. Lazarus is sick and Jesus is on his way, but he's a little late. You know the story. Everybody's anxious. Jesus can heal the sick, can he? Get him here. He can heal Lazarus. Lazarus dies. Everybody's devastated. He has two sisters, Mary and Martha. And Jesus comes up to them, and of course they're both concerned. They both have the same response. If you'd just been here early, this wouldn't have happened. Okay, now we're getting, I think, a really important lesson in what resurrection life is all about. Resurrection life becomes important to us and real to us because of death. If Lazarus didn't die, there'd be no need for a resurrection. And if you look at human suffering and the things that you go through, nobody in this room likes suffering. We talk about the cross. We talk about the whole process of death. I'm not talking about the final physical death. We face little deaths all the time. Our ego is constantly going through death, isn't it? And there's a lot of times we're troubled by things, why things have to happen the way they do. And we try to reason it out and make sense of the unfair things that we go through in life. I'd like to simplify it because I really can't help you with that, because I think all of us in our own human thinking are always going to be troubled by the way life is. It's never going to quite make sense. It's never going to be just like we want it to be just. But maybe there's something bigger going on. I see nothing fair and just in Jesus taking his time and letting his friend die. Unless there's a bigger picture here. And the bigger picture for Lazarus and for all of us is God wants us to experience his life. Abundant life. Resurrection life. And a lot of the deaths that we go through and the things that we go through that we don't understand, that trouble us, that don't seem fair, have to do with God opening us up to his life. And they only make sense on that level. We all want God to answer all our prayers, and I don't think we're ever going to change from that. We're still going to try to make sense of the difficulties in our life. We're still going to ask God, can you please address this problem I'm having? But maybe we can open up to a bigger picture. Life is more than simply God being a great Santa Claus somewhere and giving us what we want. God is looking down and saying, I want to share who I am with you so that you can live in me and have my life. So I'm arranging your life and this process of death in such a way that you can experience me. We just need a revelation that there's more going on than just us battling our problems and trying to pull God, the muscle, into the picture, take care of our problems. I'm not saying we shouldn't believe God to answer prayers. I definitely believe we should. But there's something more. Now, he's standing before Martha. In verse 21, Martha said to Jesus, if you only had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now, I know that whatever you ask God, God will give you. Jesus said, your brother shall rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. You see what's happening here? This is us. Martha is standing right in front of resurrection life, the Lord, who is the resurrection life, isn't he? He's going to go to the cross. He's going to rise from the dead. But she doesn't know who she's standing in front of. He's close to her. But you see, her thinking is taking her away. He talks about resurrection. She's going to a doctrine. Yes, I know the doctrine, the teaching is on the last day this will happen. And Jesus is looking at her and saying, I'm it. That teaching is about me. And I'm right here. It's our minds that get in the way, don't they? Poor Martha. You read another place where she's busy doing things and upset that her sister Mary's not helping. Mary's, of course, sitting at the feet of the Lord, busy for Jesus, trying to get the house all ready. Jesus is talking to her, then she's trying to tell, yeah, Lord, I know about that doctrine. Someday that's going to happen. Her mind going every direction, but being able to focus on who the Lord was in front of her. When we talk about resurrection life, you have it. The Lord is not far away. He's closer than your own skin. He's in you. That's the provision of God. It's our minds that interfere. And we get into our doctrines that someday this is going to happen. Someday that's going to happen. And our faith is always reaching out to what will be. But the power of faith first has to be in what is. I think a lot of times we try to escape what is right now by looking to the future. Jesus wanted Martha to see that he was there at the present with her. In Hebrews 11, it talks about faith. What does it say? You must believe that God is, and that he's a rewarder of them that seek him. Now, we get onto that reward part. Yeah, if I seek God with my faith, he's going to give me the things I'm asking for. First, we must believe that he is. It's a present reality, present tense. What does it mean to believe that God is now for us? It means that God is in us. His word is in us. The Lord is in us. His resurrection life is in us. I think that's more difficult for us. We can believe for our tomorrows, but to look in the mirror and to believe that God lives in you today may be more of a challenge of faith. But how can our faith for our tomorrows be effective if our faith isn't a present reality today and we know that God is in us today? This is what resurrection is all about. It's not about what will happen tomorrow. It's about who the Lord is in you right now. Martha's looking around, going to doctrine, and Jesus is saying, Martha, it's not about doctrine. It's about me. It's about a relationship with me. What follows out of this is Jesus, of course, calls Lazarus forth. Resurrection life. He's resurrected from the dead. Same thing that's happening today. The call, that same call, is happening today within his people. The voice of the Lord is calling beyond the tomb. His resurrection life, stirring his people to live in God, creating the life that we could never create for ourselves just by being religious. It has to come by the hand of God. And then after that, Jesus had those that were standing around. He says, well, I want you to unbind Lazarus. He came out. He had all, remember all the grave clothes on him? I think this is going to be the lifestyle of those that believe in the resurrected Lord today. You're going to have that call of faith coming out, the life of God flowing through his people. And there's going to be such a great expression of love, because what happens is this life of God's coming out, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We all have these grave clothes. You know what I'm talking about? Our faults. All those things about our personality that we don't like, and the weaknesses that we have as human beings. What is resurrection life all about? We have this treasure, and then we have the love that flows when we unwrap one another. So the resurrected Lord can be seen through all of us. The lifestyle of resurrection life taking place within God's people. Well, I think we all live in John 11, don't we? A lot more than we realize. And like Martha, we don't realize how close the Lord is and who he is to us. We're looking to the future, we're looking back to the past, but every moment he's standing within you, knocking at the heart, at the door of your heart, saying, let me in, let's have fellowship. Live with me today, be in relationship with me today. Don't worry about the tomorrows. Tomorrows will take care of themselves. God will be manifest tomorrow, but it's today he wants us to hear his voice and believe that he is fully alive within us. I think we honor the Lord concerning his resurrection by looking back and saying, 2,000 years ago, God, you did the most wonderful thing, and thank you. But I think we honor God this day and every day by believing in that resurrection in our own lives each day when we wake up. That's what he wanted for us. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. When he was resurrected from the dead, he said, this life that I have is for you. He shared it with all of us. So let's contend for it. Let's believe for it. Father, we ask today that this be our reality. Beyond our circumstances, beyond our problems, and they can be many, beyond all the limitation we have as human beings, our hearts hunger and thirst for your resurrection life to be manifest in us and through us. Jesus, what you did for us so many years ago, let it be our experience and day-to-day reality in how we live our lives. The issue is not the earthen vessel. The issue is not the fact that we're human and we make mistakes. The issue is this wonderful treasure that you want to shine through us. Amen. Let's share communion together at this time. Could we, Terry, could you, George? And a few others to help bring it up. As we take communion this morning, and we're gonna, let's just pass the elements out right now and just hold on to it, we can all take it together. I want us just to think about who the Lord is to us today. What does he mean to us? What does his sacrifice mean to us today as we sit here? Does he want us to try to manufacture a life that is, we call it, describe it as Christian, do our best efforts to be a good religious people? Or does he want us to believe in what he has done for us? that he wants to release his divine life through us. I'd like, as we share the communion this morning, maybe there be an end to our own striving, trying to produce something that we can't produce in ourselves, no matter what image we create to place before others. The resurrection, the spiritual life, is something that's fruit of God within us. And Lord, as we partake today, we all believe in what you can do and what you can be through us. We believe there'll be an end to that element of striving and pretending and condemning. Lord, open our eyes just to see who you are. Terry, would you like to?